This is Dave Gloatz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. How are you doing today, Ben?
Excellent. Excellent.
Before we start, I want to congratulate you for being a finalist for an award. A journalist organization called the Chicago Headline Club has named you a finalist for an award for Best In-Depth Reporting in a General Interest Publication.
Well, thank you.
Sure, and that's the local chapter at the Society of Professional Journalists. I guess the awards will be on April 24th.
Sounds good.
Today we're talking about Ben's column titled An Open Letter to the IOC that appeared in the Reader on April 2nd, 2009. The IOC, of course, being the International Olympic Committee, which arrived today in Chicago, reportedly. And the article is a letter to the IOC where you tell the IOC why it's in their best interest not to pick Chicago as the site of the 2016 Olympic Games. I noticed that the IOC officials are staying at the Fairmont Hotel over on Columbus Drive, about 200 North Columbus. I'm wondering if they're going to see the Reader over there. And I wonder if the Reader gets distributed at the Fairmont.
I doubt it. I think they'll keep it from. I think Mayor Daley is going around the city right now burning copies of the Reader. Not long ago, I got a story. I did a story, I forget what it was about. It was critical of a local alderman. And a buddy of mine who runs a video store told me that the alderman's henchman came in and collected all the readers, or tried to. He stopped them because they were going to throw away the readers. I'm sorry. The notion, you know.
How long ago was it?
This was a couple of years ago, I remember. I took a tremendous pride in that.
Do you have any idea that the members of the IOC will actually see your column?
I would guess that there is a clipping service that they employ that rounds up coverage from Chicago relating to the Olympics, and my article will be part of a packet that they get along with the Tribune and Sun-Times editorials, which called on the IOC to give Chicago the Olympics. So I'm just one voice of many in this chorus.
What do you think about the Tribune and Sun-Times editorials?
Well, I just wrote about this to scoop myself. I wasn't surprised. I expect editorial boards to endorse big civic projects like the Olympics. The only question was how they were going to finesse it. My point being that trained journalists, they're not really good at puffery. It goes against their instincts. So I wanted to see, you know, what machinations they would have to go through to endorse a project that, if they were speaking honestly, they would probably tell you is going to be a boondoggle. And so pretty much what they did was they had to ignore everything that their papers have been reporting on for the last, 15 years in order to reach the conclusion that somehow or other this wasn't going to be a monstrosity, a big waste of money and effort. And they did so, and then they moved on. I think they're probably, like everybody else in the city, just hoping the International Olympic Committee does the dirty deed that they're afraid to do, and that is to stand up and oppose this colossal waste of money.
Why do you expect the papers to endorse the Olympics in spite of their reporting showing the flaws with the idea?
Well, those are the editorial boards, and number one, they don't want to go too far in opposing our all-powerful mayor. They're very careful about how they oppose him, and when they do oppose him on an issue, like a few years ago, the Tribune opposed him on Soldier Field, and they opposed him on the Children's Museum, they always make it as though it's an isolated case. They'll couch it by saying, what a great mayor he is. He's so smart, he's so wise, he's so sagacious, he's brilliant. But in this one case, he's wrong. As opposed to saying, this is one in a pattern of about 15 idiotic plans that he's concocted that are going to waste our money. Because he's all-powerful, and they're a powerful institution, and one doesn't criticize the other. I think the papers, by and large, the reporters, do a great job of exposing what happens in our town. Today's Sun-Times, I pointed this out, has two great articles in it. One talking about how a trucking firm with ties to HDO and to the hired truck just got a $17 million contract.
That's the Hispanic Democratic Organization.
Yeah, HDO is, yeah. And then there was another story about cost overruns at the 9/11 Center. And so these two articles came in the same issue in which the Sun-Times editorial board said, we have full confidence in our mayor and his Olympic planners to get this off without a hitch. And the only thing I can conclude is that they don't read their own newspaper. The Tribune is even more of a joke because they're trying to be cavalier in their editorial about how Chicago's past and how Al Capone, you know, didn't even live here in the first place. And that's all ancient history. Never mind that John Cass, at least once a week, writes about mob ties to City Hall and how the city's wired. So it's like everything else in the city. There's the dual reality. There's the world as we know it and then the world as we pretend it is.
Well, speaking of pretense, at the end of your article, you talk about how you expect that the citizens of Chicago, if it comes to pass that they have to pay for the Olympics in a way that the mayor has promised that they won't, that they'll rise up, that there'll be a rebellion. Yet you have called over the months that we've talked the electorate sheep,
yeah,
and that they're willing to go along.
Yeah.
Why do you feel now that there'll be a rising up amongst the sheep?
I know that seems like a contradiction, and you're the second person today who's pointed that out to me.
Damn, I know.
Just so it be known, generally when I call the public sheep, I always add to that that the sheep do get upset when you don't feed them. And so the equivalent of a feeding them is to collect their garbage and clean the streets of snow. So we've already proved that if you don't do a good job of cleaning snow from the streets, the peasants will erupt, not sheep, peasants. And that's what happened in 79 when Jane Byrne defeated Michael Bolanek. And so the lesson every mayor has subsequently learned is you must clear snow from the streets, because the public will tolerate just about anything but that. So now, of course, like every flake is precious, and we clear it away and we pour on the salt.
Except for the beginning of this winter when the administration tried not to.
Mayor Daley forgot. He's so much on his mind flying around the world selling the Olympics. So to that list, I will add parking meters. It seems like the public is outraged over the prospect of paying money to park, which is an interesting idea. One of the few things I might be able to endorse about what the mayor's done is he's making it prohibitive to drive in the city. Of course, he's doing nothing to provide an alternative means of transportation with the CTA falling apart. So my point is that I think there are pressure points that force the citizenry to action. If this city is incapable of paying its basic bills, and it seems like it's incapable of paying its basic bills, if it continues the fraud of its TIF program, in which hundreds of millions of dollars are off the books, there will be a collapse. If there's a collapse, then presumably the citizenry will rise up.
I wonder about that perception that the city is, its economy is fragile. For example, the Chicago Public Schools budget. You mentioned in your article that CPS has announced that it's expecting a $475 million deficit in the 2010 budget. But I've also read that Chicago Public Schools has trumpeted to financial rating agencies its financial security. So it has a fairly good bond rating, I guess. So there seems to be a contradiction there. Is the city perhaps playing it both ways? It plays it to the electorate that we're in deep financial trouble, but really up its sleeve, it knows it has plenty of money and it's going to be fine.
Great question. And it gets to the very heart of the problem with the city's finances. And that is that there's absolutely no way to make an honest assessment of what those finances are. So much of it is cloaked in secrecy, and so much is part of a great deception. So you're absolutely correct when you say that we really don't know if they're financially strong, and that, yes, they do talk out of two sides of their mouth. So I'll take them at face value. If you're peddling Midway Airport because you need money to pay your basic bills, then you can't afford the Olympics. If you don't need to sell Midway Airport, then why are you selling it? If you don't have to sell parking garages, why are you selling them? If you don't have to sell parking meters, why are you selling them? If in reality we're in such great financial straits, why are we selling off our assets? Why are we raising fines and fees? Why are we expanding parking meters, putting parking meters in areas where they weren't before? Those questions have to be answered. So their answer is, yes, we're in a fiscal crisis. It's the greatest fiscal crisis we're ever facing. Then I'm saying, well, if it's the greatest fiscal crisis we've ever facing, and the federal government has not guaranteed that they're going to pay for the Olympic Games, then we can't afford these games without having to cut our services even more. And we're running out of things we can sell. Now, you're also getting at a larger game that's played with the bonding agencies. That's a whole other scam that I've never really looked into, how Chicago juggles the impression that it's financially strong in order to keep its bond rating low. I think that the essential component in that, and I'll give the mayor credit for this, is that bonding agencies have full confidence in Mayor Daley's ability to raise taxes anytime he wants because he's impervious to public criticism. So that same power that enables Mayor Daley to just waste money is also an assurance to bond raters that he can just raise money.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. Ben Jurofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.